Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
And thank you, everybody. Listen, brothers and sisters, I watch a lot of some of the ministries on TV, and they're always promising blessings. Said if each and every one of you give $1,000 today, then I'm going to make sure that God doubles your blessings for the week. And there's nothing in the book, so I can't, but today, I have a blessing for you. How many would like a blessing from God? I have a blessing from you, from God. You don't have to give $1,000. You don't have to give $10. You're here today. God told you to be here today, amen? No matter what happened, everything, here you are in God's house. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So if you came to God's house, you know, and if it was a sacrifice, I'm telling you, if you didn't, you know, sometimes you get surgery, you don't feel like going, and that's called a sacrifice. And so God honors a sacrifice, amen? So you're already in a place that you can receive blessing. But now that you've come to God's house, I pray that you let all the stuff out that door. Leave everything out that door. If you can do that, your day in church will be better. I promise you that. If you can leave all the stuff and distractions outside, and now you're coming to God's house, receive that. You're here today, amen? Everybody is family. We are all family. We are family. So receive that today, amen. Let's stand up and pray together. You're in a beautiful place. You came to church, you're in a beautiful place. You know what? You came to your church, where you've been building this church, coming together. You are the foundation. Say that with me. I am the foundation. You have that. That's yours. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all our blessings, Lord. And today we're all excited now because the pastor said we're going to receive a blessing. Even me. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Lord. Just bless us, Lord. Let us get our hearts and minds on you. And that's the beginning. That's the beginning for every day. I pray that they receive this today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Greg. Thank you.
sometimes they won't.
Okay, well, sometimes you're tired, you didn't get enough sleep last night, maybe your wife kept you up late last night watching TV, and you wanted to turn the TV off at midnight, and over them. Yeah, it was you that kept your wife up late. I don't know, one way or the other, I don't know. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God has a blessing. I have a song for that, I really do. I put it right where I know I can find it. Right on the page right over here, see it? It's right on the same page it was before when I put it in the book. The book hasn't moved. But it did. But I always ask, are you living it? If you know it, are you living it? Bible, it's something for all of us, amen, to be blessed. Imagine that. But you got to take a closer walk. And you know what? Today you all took a closer walk. You waited to marry. She's a married woman.
He's a married man.
Oh, great.
It's a lot of friend love.
You know, you got flow between them. She's going to tell him. Greg and I were holding hands before, and I then looked over, and Flo's watching me. I said, see, we're in trouble. You know people gossip in there? But you all stand with us, everybody. We're going to sing a song called Just a Closer Walk with Thee. This is you and God. Have a wonderful time. Be seated and just say, oh, thank you, Lord. and give him some praise this morning in his house. Hallelujah. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. Sergio, he added that. He added that. If that Bible wasn't in there, that prayer would be like we could just waltz around Texas. Responsive reading. Miss Marilyn picked this up, so let her know how happy you are. Psalm 119. I will start, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the laws of the Lord. How much of your heart? Wow. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Yeah. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgment. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who sit in heaven on the throne watching everything that we do and his presence around you. Hallelujah. What a beautiful sound. What a beautiful reading. And you've already started your day right. You've started with obedience. Do not forsake fellowship. Amen. So you're already walking with God. So if you started that walk this morning with God, walk closer to him. How many think you can be closer to God than you are right now? Y'all people have been reading the Bible and you know the Bible and you read his word, but you can be closer to God yet. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? You can be closer to God. You can be closer to God yet. Today. Alright, the Red Sox won last night. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. I hope you're all happy. I didn't call anybody when the Yankees were winning. I know better. Baseball's a little different than football. You got to wait until the game. What kind of person, according to the preacher of Ecclesiastes, is no better than an unenchanted serpent? What kind of a person, according to the preacher of Ecclesiastes, and don't look now, is no better than an unenchanted serpent? Is it a dreamer? Is it a teller of secrets? Or is it a coy woman? Can we still say woman in this time?
Yes.
How many think it's a dreamer? That's no better than an unenchanted serpent. We got anybody with dreamer? How about a teller of secrets? Anybody a teller of secrets? How about a coy woman? Did I get you, coy woman? No, nobody got it. Oh, Lily got it. No. An idle tongue excels in one thing. It is able to set on forest on fire with tales it tells. Amen. God, I wish we could all learn that. You know, not that we're gossipers or titled, but sometimes more words are not better. Amen, Brother Jim, you know what I mean? Sometimes less words is a whole lot better for healing. Praise God. Anyway, what did Ruth wait for Boaz to do before she went into him? She was watching Boaz, and she had to wait. And was it to finish winnowing, which is separating grain from the chaff? Was it to eat and to drink? Or was she waiting for him to lie down? What kind of woman was she? What did Ruth wait for Boaz to do before going into him? How many? She waited for him to finish winnowing. Nothing. How about to eat and to drink? She waited for him to eat and drink. How about to lie down? God, you guys can read your Bible. Good for you. She waited for him to lie down before she went to him. She was a good girl. Don't start. Now, see, don't start the gossip. Don't be telling friends that the book of Ruth is about some woman waiting for a guy to lie down before she went in there. You have to know the rest of it. What did the kinsman, what did the relative give to Boaz? Remember the story? Did he give him a shoe? Did he give him barley? Or did he give him two goats and two lambs, one male and female each? What did the kinsman give to Boaz? How many thought he gave him a shoe? Remember anybody would say shoe? How about Jim, which one did you pick? The two lambs? Faith, which one did you pick? What's that? It was custom to give Boaz his shoe and told him to buy the lamb. I made that one up with the two lambs and the two goats for the male and female. I thought the male and the female was really a curveball, see? Because you didn't know the story. No, it's customary where they were. You see, Boaz had an older brother, and it was his right to go to Ruth first. See, he had the first choice. And in order to pass the choice down, he takes the shoe up and hands it to Boaz. And it's like, okay, this is the shoe, because it's the symbol, the custom. It's the custom that he did. I'm passing it to you. I'm passing the right to you. He gave them a shoe to them. I'm getting good. Wait, John has a question, and I'm not going to tell you. Because John and I have been talking, and I got to tell him because he told me, and we're working to see if we got it. But we got a question coming up real soon that you see. You got to pay attention, man. You walk in this church, you got to listen and see. This is God's house. If Jesus' answer to Peter was taken literally, how many times must we forgive his brother? If his answer was taken literally when he was talking to Peter, Jesus, how many times are we literally supposed to forgive our brother? Is it 49? Is it 490? Or is it 4,900 times a day? How many times? How many do you think it's 49 times? Anybody? How about 490 times? Anybody? 4,900 times? You have to forgive 7 times 7. So it's 490 times. 490 times. Can anybody do that? Has anybody used up their quota yet?
That's horrible.
That's horrible.
Ask Nancy.
No, I'm not going to ask Nancy. She told me the truth. Okay, brothers and sisters, your pastor promised you a blessing. How many want your blessing? There's a book in the Bible. It's called Revelation. Anybody ever read that book? Revelation. Some people say, oh, I never read that because I can't understand it. And other people try to teach on some of the things that John saw. And we don't understand it, so it's hard to talk about it, amen? However, your pastor found a few things in the first verse of Revelation and the first page of Revelation that concern you, and the book of Revelation can change your life today. Really, Pastor? How many know the book of Revelation can change your life right now? Isn't that amazing? That's God's way. It says right there, in First Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that hard to understand? People miss that. You see, when you read the Bible, you got to stop. You read a line and stop. And read a line and stop. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's revelation. Revelation, in Greek translation, listen to this. It's apocalypsis. The Greek word translated to revelation is apocalypse. Does that word sound familiar? How about apocalypse? That's the Greek translation of revelation. And apocalypse is a revealing or an unveiling. So the book of Revelation is a revealing of who? Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation belongs to Jesus, and he is the one doing the revealing. He is the object being revealed. And people miss that. They get so lost and I don't understand it, I can't read it, that they miss that right away. The book of Revelation is about Jesus and is revealing who Jesus is. Amen? It's awesome. Hallelujah. Then he goes on to say, not even the first line here. The revelation which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and sanctified it by his angel to his servant John. who bore witness of the word and God of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. That's Revelation 1-2. Say that with me. Revelation 1-2. Now I'm on two verses. How many? Two verses. I already explained that Revelation is about Jesus. It said that right there. We're going to find out. We're going to dig deeper into we're going to reveal. We're going to unveiling of Jesus. And in the second part, we see where it says that it belongs to him. He's the one doing the revealing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Who bore witness. Read that. Did you see it? I got too much going on. I need a bigger day. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony. He bore, John is bearing witness. So what does that mean? What does that mean, Pastor? I get excited. But he heard him and he saw him. Amen? John is telling us that he heard and saw who? Jesus. So Jesus is not a myth. Amen? Understand that there's people in the world that don't believe that Jesus existed. Imagine that. They don't believe he is. They kind of mock everything. But he's not a myth because people saw him and people heard him. 2,000 years have passed and he is our all in all. Hallelujah. And by him we are saved. By him we have salvation. My eyes have seen him. This is what John is telling you. We're only two verses in and John is telling me, I've seen him and I've heard him. And this is about him. He's writing it. Can I get an amen? I get so excited. And here it is, children. Here it is. Drum roll, please. Oh, we don't have a drum roll. The third verse of Revelation. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things which are written in it, for the time is near. Did you read that? Did you hear that? Did you hear what he just said? Let me read it again. I want to make sure. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. You want a blessing? You got it. You just got it. You are blessed. I could give you that blessing. What did he say, Pat? What are you talking about? Blessed is he who reads. Who's reading? Me. And he who hears. Who's hearing? Right? The words of this is the only book in the Bible where you get that blessing, amen? A lot of people don't read Revelation, but if you don't read it, you don't study it, you don't get the blessing. But you just got blessed. See, I gave you a blessing from the word of God, amen? Come on. Now here's the thing, now we're going to dig a little deeper. I love that. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the times is near. We'll get to that in a minute. John, are you ready, church? Are you ready? John never said, Brother Jim, Deacon Jim, John never said we had to understand everything. Can I get an amen? He didn't say you had to understand every single word and every symbol. He just said you're blessed if you read it and blessed if you heard it. This Bible, the revelation of who? There you go. So today I read and you hear it. We're blessed. Tomorrow you can read and somebody else hear it. Amen? They're blessed. But here's God. Here's God. How great is God? The next day, I love this. I love this. Are you ready? The next day you can read it. Are you ready, church? You can read it out loud. So when you read it out loud, what are you doing? You're reading and hearing. So you're getting blessed double time. Because you're reading it out loud, you're reading it again, and then I'm saying it out loud, my ears are. Oh my God, that's God.
Amen.
That's God, that's your blessing. I want to be blessed. You guys are so blessed. Read it out loud. You can do both. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come and from the seven spirits are before his throne. He's talking about God. and here go, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of over the kings of earth. And this is great. Are you ready to say, and I love this, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. To him who did what? Loved us. Now here's an interesting thing, church. Some of your translations have the word love changed to loves. Some of the Bibles will have to him who loves us. But the New King James decided to stay with love, and I like it better. You know why? Because he did something. And we need to know that he loved us. Amen? He loved us. Now he loves us, and you'll get to that too. But understand what I'm reading now. You'll see the difference. To him who loved us, how many know that he loved us and washed us from our sins? He's already done that. Amen? It says he's washed you from your sin. He doesn't have to do it again. Amen? He did it once. Because if you said that he washes us from our sin, no, he doesn't have to wash your clothes twice. Amen? He doesn't have to wash your shoes. He doesn't have to. He did it. Can I get an amen? He did it. And you don't have to understand it to receive blessings. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Where's that? Love, not love, past, and washed us from our sins in his own way. And now, say that with me, and now, one more time, and now, if that wasn't enough, he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So not only has he loved you and washed you, if that wasn't enough, can I get an amen? Understand what I'm saying? If that wasn't, he's done it for us. And that's worthy of praise. That's why every church should be praising him. There should be so much noise of praise because of what he did. Amen. But he's also done something else. And that's today. He put us in a place of favor. Amen. He's put us, made us priests and servants of him. Listen, if there was another way, he would have done it. And here's the key. Here's the thing you've got to read. He did it all while you were sinners, you heathen people. You look at each other and you judge each other and you get mad at each other. But we were all sinners when he did it, amen? Because he loved you. That's what love is. Love doesn't have a price. You'll meet some people some days and you'll see them today that they say we need to love each other. But then you say something politically that they don't agree with and all of a sudden love is gone. The love has a price. The price is you've got to agree with that, amen? God doesn't work that way. You just love him. He loves you. There's no price. There's just praise and love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Can I get an amen? Amen? That's why he loved us. He loved us. And he washed us. It's done. But he still loves us because he made us kings and priests to his Father. Where?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And again, if that wasn't enough for you to praise him, if salvation wasn't enough, he did more. God's special service. Honor, glory, and dominion. How many read the, when we say the our Father, right? Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Some people say, some churches don't read that. And that's fine, amen. Yeah, I mean, some churches, when they do the Lord's Prayer, they don't add that. And that's fine. But the Bible adds it, amen. And I tell you, if the Bible adds it, it's really good if we use it. If the Bible says we're going to receive something, it's good to talk about it. All the things that God has for us, amen? We want to be with what God wants us to be. And we want to understand the Bible. This book of Revelation is really incredible. And I'm only like 7 verses into the book. And look at everything you've already found. Now, I've got a couple more minutes. I've got to make Revelation come alive in you. Can I get an amen? I got to make this book, this prophecy, come alive in you. Let you see how it's going to be in your life. I, John, both your brother, not that John, although that's a good John, but that's not me. So you didn't write that. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation, the kingdom, and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony. But he was sent in exile. He was sent on an island, a prison, alone with God, where it was just him and God. Where it was just you and God. Oh yes, it's possible, it's powerful, it's real. Not where you speak to God, but where God can speak to you. That's the difference. Understand. You're no different, none of us, than Peter, John, and Paul. You look around, there's nobody in this church. Peter, John, and Paul made mistakes, and they got each other, and they fought with each other, and they disagreed with each other, amen? I know that Paul and Peter had a big disagreement, but they loved each other, and that overcame them, amen? So we're no different. We're no different than them. They were sinners. They had faults and problems. But I believe God waits for those times to be alone with us. But we're too busy. I mean, really alone with God. How many pray to God? You all pray to God? You talk to God? But see, that's you. We'll get into this deeper, because this is where revelation becomes you. Let's look a little deeper. How many remember what I said last week and the week before? Paul was in prison. How many remember that Paul was in prison? Who put him there? He knew. Satan put him in prison. Satan said, I hate this guy. He used to be on my team. Paul used to go and kill the Christians. He was on my team. Then one day he got this revelation. Holy smokes, really, from who?
Jesus.
And he wanted to tell the whole world. Not just his little Derby, Connecticut, or New Milford, Connecticut, or wherever you're. He wanted to tell the world about Jesus. How am I going to do this? I can't be every place at once. And then the devil kind of put him in prison. Smelly, wet, yucky. You don't want to be there. But the devil put him in prison where he could be alone with God. He did nothing wrong, yet he's alone. He knows that it was Satan. John is in exile in an island. He's on an island. All by himself in prison. Lone and dark. Captured. Now what? Now what? He did nothing wrong. He knows Satan. Satan's working. He sees it. That's what you all got to understand. You got to understand that Satan's hand is on the... When you get angry, how many know you sometimes you have a reason to be angry? It's not that you don't, but it's Satan. See, that it's that, oh, he's angry. I can go get him now. He's mad. I can go get him now. See, he's frustrated. I can go get him now. See, he's jealous. I can go get him now. He's got pride. You understand? When you walk out and you have that on your heart and you have it on your sleeve, Satan said, I can go get him now. I got a place to get him. See? So Satan must have been feeling pretty good. Paul, that pain in the neck, was in, who was on his side, now trying to leave the world with Jesus. He was alone. Satan thought, what could Paul do in prison? Ha, ha, ha. He wrote three of his greatest letters, and he put them where? In the Bible. And how far has the Bible reached? The whole world. Because he was alone in prison, he heard from God. He wasn't asking God for anything. He wasn't anything. He was all alone. That was it. And God said, Paul, let me talk to you. Wow. Now, hallelujah. John is in exile. Imagine how Satan felt. Remember I tell you, sometimes Satan doesn't get it. I can say it because he just got too much pride. That he takes one step and he thinks he had a victory, and all of a sudden he just goes too far. Now he's got John in exile. He's got John, the disciple who Jesus what? Loved. Remember? He's got him in exile. Read it. It's in Revelation. He's got him on an island all by himself, and the devil's saying, I got him now. Hey, Jesus, I got him now. He's the disciple he loved, and he's all alone. And Jesus said, good. Now it's me and him. Alone. God. I wrote this down. Where God could speak to him and show him things without any interference. There was no football tickets, remember? Yankees and Red Sox weren't playing that day. There was no phone. He didn't have a cell phone. There was no TV, no radio, no work, nothing. He just had Jesus alone. I'm telling you, the greatest revelations in your life is when you can find that place to be alone. Not driving your car, because when you drive your car, you got to do what? You got to drive. You got to pay attention, see? You got something in your hand, you got to make sure, and then you got to make sure you're not going too fast, or your wife will make sure your wife will yell at you, or you're going too slow, or passes you, you know. You see, that's a little distraction. And not when you're praying. I don't tell you go at night and you get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm praying for my granddaughter, my children, my family, my loved ones. I pray for my church. You see, I'm talking to God. God said, yep, I hear you, yep. But when you find that place, and I pray God doesn't do that to us, but God put Paul in prison and put John in prison, see? He made a place where they could go and be alone with him. When you're alone, Deacon Sergio, with God, and you have nothing else, nothing that you're alone with God, understand what I'm going to try to say. Nothing that you would say to God would be of value. You want to listen to him talking to you. Amen? You think just a closer walk with thee means you let God speak to you. And sometimes it's so hard to find that place, but if you can find that place, I truly believe in my heart and soul that I found it once. One time, out in the woods, all by myself. I found it. I had to put my bow down. I've been told this story so many times. I had to stand there and I was weeping, literally weeping. I wasn't sad about anything. I felt the presence of, he must have moved it hundreds of an inch closer to me, because the pressure was amazing. The feeling of euphoria was amazing. And everything was just amazing. Where God can touch my heart. And when he touches your heart, he just says, love me. And when he touches your heart, here's the thing that you got to understand, that you realize at that moment, you have a revelation in that moment that God is truly with you. Wow. Here's something else about revelation. We're only on the first page. Come on. Now you read Revelation and people want to preach on it. And I'm not smart enough to tell you something that I don't know what it is to make you think it is, except the two lambs and two goats, male and female. You start reading Revelation and stars and lamps and on fire and angels and things with fire going on all right. John is alone with Jesus, amen? And he writes this stuff. John doesn't have a clue what he's writing. Let me tell you this again. John, and this is another thing that people miss. He doesn't have a clue, but he couldn't. How would he know anything that he's writing? He's writing what Jesus is telling him, and Jesus is showing him. He said, write it down. Oh, the stars and the fire and the candlesticks and the churches. And he has no idea what he's writing, but he's writing it because he's listening to God, because he's alone with God, and God says, now I can talk to you, and you write what I'm telling you. And John said, I don't know what I'm writing, but I'm going to write it anyway. He did not understand all that he saw. He just wrote it down as he saw that. So I ask you this little question in my sermon, which is almost over. I feel bad because I love this one. Was it God speaking to John, or did John just have an amazing imagination? Right? Anybody ever meet somebody and say, I don't understand the Bible, where should I go? You know what I tell them? Go to the book of John. Go to the Gospel of John. Go to the three letters, because it's so simple. Because John loved him so amazing. God, John just had love for him that was beyond and above and everything else. So this is the same John who wrote all this simple stuff, and now he's writing about stuff that even he doesn't understand. So I ask you, was it John's imagination or was it God? I'm going to pick God. I'm sorry. If you're asking me to be a fanatic, it's going to be God telling John to write all this stuff down. Revelation. And he wrote it down. to be alone with God, with Jesus. No prayer spoken, no complaints, no distractions. God wants to speak to you. I wrote this down and I circled it. It's called a revelation. What's the name of the book we're talking about? All of a sudden the book starts to make sense and you're blessed because you do what? You hear it. You're hearing. I'm reading the word. You're hearing, and I'm reading it and I'm getting blessed. And you can bless somebody tomorrow. And then you can read it out loud later and hear it yourself. Yes. A connection like nothing before in your life. Blessed are those who hear, and blessed is he who hears, and blessed are those who read. Blessed by God. So you start to say to yourself, church, listen to this. This is the end now. When you finally get that revelation, you finally get like where John and Paul, because you can, because they were no different than you. They just found their place to find the revelation. How meaningless are the bickerings, amen, in your life? When you're talking to God, and he says, I'm with you, and I love you, and I'll be with you, then what are you bickering about, amen? What are you upset about? How can you be upset at your wife, your husband? God is with you. God has got his hand on you, and you're going to worry about what? Supper was later. Are you driving too slow or driving? I mean, what, really? What is it that you're fighting about? Because God is with you. What do you care, amen? Oh, somebody upset me. I get it. How many have ever been upset by somebody? See my hand? I mean, we all have. So what? It doesn't change my life. And you know what makes my life better, Jane? You know what? I love it. And my love doesn't have a condition. You don't have to agree with me to be a lover. Sometimes, you know, how many know that it's not easy to love everybody? Right, Jane? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Nobody mind. Great gratitude. I love him. Actually, you never got married. So you start to say to yourself, what can man do to me? I'm blessed. How meaningless are the distractions? How meaningless the noise? Today, I say, I shall not be moved. Today you have received a blessing. Today, when you walk outside, you say, I shall. I got a revelation. I got a blessing from God today. And it didn't cost me $1,000. You didn't have to buy my book. You didn't have to send $300 three months in a row. A double portion, a triple. You don't need it. Listen, if you have blessings from God, this is so cool. I want to scream when I hear this. I'm sorry. When somebody says, I'll give you a double blessing. What are you giving me a double? I got one blessing from God is everything. What do I need a double for? What? Then I get a double blessing. I said, wow. So what is it in the first blessing that I didn't get that I need the second blessing for? I mean, let's be honest, amen. And they tell you that on TV. Oh, I got this book. I wrote a book. You know how many people write books? I watch my news channel. Everybody writes a book. Oh, I got a book. Oh, you got a book? Oh, yeah. No. I got a book right here. And I love Wigglesworth said it, and he said it. He said, my son-in-law is a book reader. He's a scholar, a PhD, and I love him, and he's very smart, and I gave him all my books. He said, because I got one book to read, and I don't quite understand it all yet, so I'll continue reading it until I do. He calls it Father's Word. Wasn't that beautiful? Hmm. Today, you've got a revelation in a book that nobody wants to talk about. And I only went nine verses into the book to find everything we know. Nine verses. I didn't even turn the page yet. And you got a revelation for yourself that you could be like John and Paul and Peter. Find that place where you're alone with God. Not with your husband and your wife. You're not alone, Lily. You're not. I mean, it's wonderful. But you go find somewhere on the line. You just sit and don't say anything. Let God speak. I know that's hard for some of us. We want tell God all these things, and he's saying, no, I want to tell you things you can't believe. I want to tell you supernatural, spiritual blessings. So today you say with me, I shall not be moved. Today you have received a blessing. Take it. And draw closer to God. Give him praise. That reminds me of that little joke that they talk about with the fellow who's been drinking. On the found a genie, a bottle, a lamp on the shore, seashore, and he rubbed it, and the genie came out of the bottle, out of the lamp, and said, "I'm the genie, I give you 3 wishes." And the guy said, "What's your first wish?" He said, "You got a bottle of wine." He said, "I want this, every time I finish it, I want it to fill up again." Hocus pocus, dominoes. And he drinks it, and he looks in it, and it fills right up again. And the genie said, "You have 2 more wishes." And he said, "Give me 2 more of these." maybe we should, like, I don't know. So when somebody says you receive a double blessing, I'm saying, God. First of all, man can't bless you, amen? I mean, I read it. I did what God said to bless you, and I got blessed by reading it. But your blessing comes from God. So I want to ask him, well, if God is blessing me, why do I need a double? Is there something that he forgot in the first one? You know, people say that the Bible is old and you know, Jesus would change. He said, why? Did he leave something out? Did he not know we were going to have cell phones? Of course he did. Did he? I mean, why? Amen? And if Paul could be alone with God, and Peter, and John, so can you. You see? That's the revelation. You too can walk with God. Alone. Amen? He loved us. He loved us. He already did it. We're washed in his blood because he already did it. Understand what that means. It was done how many times? Because he doesn't have to do it again. That's why he loved us and washed us. Because it would, if he said he loves us and washes us in our blood, he said, why wasn't the first time good enough? See? So when they change it to love, it's not wrong. It just changes how beautiful it is. And after he's done that, now we're in favor in heaven with his Father. Who's done all this? Jesus. And all he asks his people to do is to do this Lord's Supper in remembrance of what he did. Even Sergio, if somebody ever did you a favor like Jesus did, they want me to remind you every day, they want more. Oh, send me more money, send me this, and no other. Pray for Brother David. He's feeling better. He said the drive would have been too painful. And his muscles. That's when he got muscles. You know, he said he's feeling better. He's doing better. I listened today. Anybody who's not here, let's lift him up in prayer. And you know, if you see somebody I don't say, just know that they're missing them. When they're not here, if you miss them, I want you all to know that because you're here today, that I'm thrilled that you're here today. But when you're not here, we miss you. Because this is your home, this is where God brought you, this is where blessings begin. Is there a better church somewhere? Perhaps if you're a better, smarter pastor, yes. But this is God's house and this is where you came, amen. So we do this today in remembrance of Jesus. When he took the bread, he blessed and broke the bread. Say, this is my body being torn for you. Simply eat this and do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. Communion is not a mystery. Miss Jean, do you do this at home every week? No? You don't? Yes? You can do it every day. You can do it twice a day. You can do it every time you pick up a cup of coffee. I'll drink this coffee in remembrance of you, right? But this is special because he washed us once in his blood. If there was another way, he would have done it. But by his blood, hallelujah, we're healed. We're saved. Our sins are gone. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities of this week. Anything, Lord, that we said or done, Lord, not against our fellow man, our brothers and sisters, but against you. Anything that we did, Lord, that made it that closeness just a little further away. We know you never leave us, Lord, never forsake us. We know you're always there, but sometimes we don't draw close enough to you. So today we have a revelation of you. We want to be closer. We want to hear from you that way. So, Lord, when we know that you're with us, Lord, nothing really else matters. What can man do to get God's with me? Hallelujah. And he is. Forgive us, Lord, as we receive this, he poured the wine into a cup. saying, this is my blood, the symbol of my blood being shed for you. Drink and do this in his name. I pray as you drink that and it goes down into your body, that you feel a new spirit that you didn't have. Even though you're so spirit filled, I know you're both Bible readers and I know you love God and you love each other, but there's more. There's more. Say that with me. There's more. There's always more with God. Always more with God. Yes, there's always more with God. That's it. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. Elder Nancy, thank you. You know, I have people together, we have couples together, and one of the couples were sick, that would be me, and my wife needed a ton of prayer because she had to take care of me 24-7, and boy did she try. And she went to the doctors with me, and let me tell you, I didn't want her to come to the doctors with me. You know why I didn't want her to come? Because she told a doctor, but when I left, I realized that's exactly what needed to be done, and guess who would have done it? Me. How do you feel? I feel good. That's a lie. Tell them up. But when you're taking care of somebody, it takes so much out of you. So that person needs prayer. Amen? And sometimes we all just don't feel good. Sometimes our legs, our back. And sometimes, and this is the sad part. Sometimes you don't feel good and you snap at somebody. You ever do that? You snap at, and it has nothing to do with the person. It just, you don't feel good. And you didn't put a century at the lips. Giving it. Shall we give him back, pressed down, shaking together, and running over that you can't hold it back? That's another blessing, another promise when you give. And you know what? We don't talk about tithing in here. We just let you know that it's a free will offering that you give to God. And I pray that you understand and you feel that when you give your free will, that you're giving to God because God will see. Now, I'm sorry, he sees your giving. He knows what you give. So don't try to impress him. Just love him. Hallelujah. So we take this offering, this church, this offering this morning from his people, from you building this church. Everything that's happening in this church, you are a part of. Every stone in front, you are a part of. Everything that we do, you are a part of. You, where you're sitting, you're a part of that because you give to this ministry and this church. Lord, bless the givers and bless this ministry, Lord. And we will try our best to just read your word and just, Lord, lead them to the light. In Jesus' precious name. Blessed are those who read the word. And blessed are those who hear the word of that prophecy. And blessed are they who do what the prophecy says to do. And you've done that today. You've come to church. And he said, because the time is near. And when you read that in the Bible and say the time is near, let me give you the answer to the time is near, church. It's closer now than it was yesterday. Is that not near? It's closer now than it was before you walked into church this morning. The time is near early. So thank you, Lord, that we got a blessing today. We got this book called Revelation that people just don't understand. It's just Revelation of Jesus. And you have a revelation. I pray that you use it from this point on. I pray that you just take it and dig deeper into that. And find that place. But man, please don't go to jail. Nobody go anywhere. But find a place where you can be truly alone with God. And let him speak to you. And Lord, this nation has millions and millions of people praying to you. Believing for you, Lord. I know that this church isn't the only church praying to you, Lord. But the world is praying. Lord, the world needs the United States of America to be around. To be the beacon on the hill. Not to be part of another organization, but to be that beacon. To be that light. Lord, we know the only way that this nation is ever going to continue to be that light is if it follows you. And the light comes from you, Lord. So I ask you to bless our nation, bless our people. And Lord, help us and lead us as we ask God to bless America. Brother Jimmy.
Oh, Lord, bless you and keep you.
Yes, I do. I love Mary. Hang on, Jim. I was just going to read Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow. Ready?
Yes.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And God gives you peace. Everything else is sovereign. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Lord.